Hello, 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 and welcome to this week's episode of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. This week we've got two regular segments for you and one bonus segment. Starting things off, Zach, Mike, and Neil break down all the news from this past week, stuff from GDC and stuff that just coincidentally fell during the week of GDC. After that, Patrick, Neil, and Zach bring the first installment of a new segment we're having, which is basically an evolving Game of the Year list. So they talk about the best games that have come out so far, and every month or so we'll do a new one and update the list with the latest games that have been released and remove the ones that don't hold up. And after the outro, we've got a bonus segment with James Dawson and Don Koopman, and they talk about the PlayStation Vita and how it compares to our lovable 3DS. Enjoy!
Hi, and welcome to NWR Connectivity. I'm your host for this news segment, Neil Ronahan, and with me I got Mike Sklens.
Hey!
And Zach Miller.
Godzilla!
And we're going to go over some of the news that I guess came out of GDC, although most of it just happened to come out around GDC. It's not really groundbreaking news. Nintendo has a little bit of a presence there. Apparently they have a very big floor space, but they basically just have, at least new-wise, they have Mario Tennis Open, Spirit Camera, and Quetzal's Quarters, which we'll talk about that later. That's a new eShop game from Nintendo. That's basically a sequel to Through Space, but now it's on 3DS.
Yeah.
And there were a couple cool talks. We'll have longer articles up on the site for the talks on stuff like Super Mario 3D Land, Resident Evil Revelations, Skylanders. And then Aaron and Carmine are both there for us. They're basically alternating days, and we'll have some other cool stuff coming out of that. Like Aaron talked about neuroscience with Voldy Way from Way Forward. Apparently, the majority of the money that they make comes from, like, EEG machine, or, like, software that they made, like, 20 years ago.
Wow.
Like, he made a comment to Aaron about, like, yeah, that still pays for half of our rent every month. So if you were ever wondering how Way Forward can make all these cool games and still survive, that's why.
Plus, it's a medical breakthrough, and then you are set for life.
Yes. Yeah, because they've been around since, like, 91, I think.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
But let's talk about some Ubisoft games. Because now that Wii U is a thing, and it's going to come out this fall, we're not just going to get your Rabbids and your Rayman and
your Rabbids.
We're actually going to get other stuff. Everybody needs more Rabbids. All the time.
Well, I think a Rabbids game for Wii U is confirmed.
really not surprised at all.
Was there a year when Ubisoft released at least 3 Rabbids games for the Wii?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was just one a year.
No, I think there was one year at least where there was 2, because one of them was like a dance version.
Nope.
Shit.
I somehow recall...
I'm almost positive that there was the launch game, then there was Rabbids 2, like Raving Rabbids 2. There was Raving Rabbids 3, which I think was called TV Party. And then there was Rabbids Go Home. And then there was Rabbids Travel Through Time, and these all came out.
What? Rabbids Travel Through Time? That's a thing that exists?
Yes, it is. And then I think there's a Kinect Rabbids game that may or may not have come out. There was a 3DS terrible, terrible platformer that was Rabbids Travel Through Time. There's a review up on the site if you want to read about how much I hate myself because I played that game.
Rabbids Go Home was the best one.
Yeah, Rabbids Go Home was basically Katamari-esque. That game was kind of fantastic. It had a great sense of humor. And really is like, that series justifies its existence with that game. And I'll still stand by that the first Rabbids game wasn't really that bad of a launch title. It's just that none of the games really added anything outside of just like, now you can use the balance board! But Ubisoft is making a bunch of stuff for Wii U. They had the round table at E3 last year where they said that they were making 5 games. There's Killer Freaks from Outer Space, which is the new IP from the Rabbids guys. And it's, you know, you fight aliens that basically look like evil maniac Rabbids. There's Ghost Recon Online. I believe there's a sports title, a Rabbids title, and then an Assassin's Creed title, which we don't have 100% confirmation. But it was announced this week when Assassin's Creed 3 was revealed that it is coming to Wii U.
That seems, I mean, I would say that is basically a confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well,
but
well,
it's not exclusive to, clearly not going to be exclusive.
Oh, no.
Well, they didn't say an exclusive, but I believe the wording at the event was that a game in the Assassin's Creed series is
right.
coming to Wii.
Because they hadn't yet announced that Assassin's Creed 3 was a real thing, even though everyone knew that was, you're going to fucking make it. Like, you don't need to play hush-hush about, oh, do you think we'll make Assassin's Creed 3, guys? Do you? Do you think we'll do it?
Well, they kept making those side stories forever.
They made Assassin's Creed 2-1 and Assassin's Creed 2-2.
2-2, yeah.
But yeah, so Assassin's Creed 3 looks kind of amazing.
I did not like the first game.
I know Mike and I have both expressed that I think we both played the earlier game, or some of the earlier games.
One.
Yeah, I played the first one and some of the second one.
But
and
I didn't really.
I thought they were cool.
I played maybe 10 missions into the, like, when you got to the first city in the first game, so I barely played it. It was terrible. I stopped playing it. It's so repetitious.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Everyone says the second one fixes a lot of those problems.
The second one is amazing.
I never played it. It can't be that much better.
The second one is way better than the first one, but it still didn't really hold me, because it is still very repetitious. It's just that it's better.
It's not nearly as repetitious.
I don't even give a shit. I don't care how repetitious this third one is. I'm fucking buying it because I want to murder some goddamn lobster backs. Like,
yeah, so
that's
the
my favorite period in American history. And
The setting of the game is the American Revolution. I believe 1777 is what the trailer set it as. You play as a Native American with some unpronounceable name, but he goes by the name of Connor. So that's easy and convenient.
You know, it'll be great. You'll be climbing all the way to the top of trees and then jumping into hay patches.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they kind of update the series and make it work for that region.
Yeah, they showed a shot.
Because it doesn't really seem to be as natural of a transition from the other two areas.
No, but they did show a shot of him, like, jumping through tree branches, which looked freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want this game. I want it now.
I would like
to know. And he uses hatchets.
He's got a hatchet, and he puts them in Redcoat's faces. It's awesome. I was talking to friends about it, and it's just like, did you hear about Assassin's Creed 3? And they're like, no, what is it? It's like, you are an Indian, and you fucking hit people in the face with axes, and they're British, and awesome.
And they're not
and
people.
Then they'd watch the trailer, and then they would be the same thing, and just be like, oh my god, I can't even.
Yeah. Shut up and take my money.
But, you know, it's on a whole new engine, and it's coming to Wii U, although October 30th is when it's coming out.
You know how we had a rash of World War II games?
A rash?
There was a period when everyone, like, when there were fucking way too many World War II games.
Yeah.
I feel like this game
still
is
going on.
This game, well, it was really bad a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's all modern now.
Right. It's all
now
zombies.
It's all modern war. And then zombies, yeah. But this game is going to spark the, like, everyone has to make an American Revolution game.
Modern Warfare 3, the American Revolution.
Yeah, once this comes out, everyone's going to realize, like, this is such a cool period of history. Why haven't we set every video game in it?
The best part about this, too, is that the creative director is Australian.
Tap B
and
refill
Canadians.
Your musket.
Yeah. Yeah, tap B rapidly. No, I dropped the ball.
But, I mean, it seems really cool, and the Wii U one seems like it's not coming out alongside the other ones on October 30th, but the wording was a little weird. I still kind of stand by my, I believe it's November 18th, 2012 prediction. That's Sunday before
Black
Friday. Thanksgiving.
Yep.
But in all honesty, I don't think I'd be that surprised if it comes out maybe the end of September or sometime in October, because it seems like there are a lot of big games that are hitting that September-October window, and a lot of those games. Well, I guess at this point, only two of them. It's Assassin's Creed 3 and Battlefield, Warfighter, or whatever the hell it's called, is supposedly coming to Wii U this fall as well, and that's coming out, I think, October 23rd.
Battlefield
so
3,
So I think
Soldier
there might be that
guy.
Outside chance that we see Wii U at in October, or maybe even the end of September or something.
I would say if it doesn't come out on November 18th, it'll come out in late September.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll come out in October at all.
No.
But
well,
I mean, we'll see.
Well,
Only time will tell.
If it doesn't come out in November 18th, that means it will have already come out in September.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that I don't think there's a chance of it showing up at any point in October.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, I think it'll either hit like
that
N64 date or
that's
or
the only reason I think
one.
of September is because the N64.
I gotcha.
And I think that might give them a good jump for the holiday season if they can position it right.
If they have enough stock, I think it's their big issue. If they're low on stock, then they'll release it in November. Give people less time to buy it.
Indeed. So the next thing on the docket is Crush 3D, and it's super, super confusing release thing.
Journey.
Which is basically consistently evolved over the past 2 months. So initially,
devolved, considering where it ends up.
Yeah. So I'll just run through Crush 3D's entire lifespan. It was announced. It is a remake of a PSP game that was, you know, pretty well received, but just really under the radar. And it was announced, I believe, right before E3 for September 2011 launch of 3DS. However, I think around like July, it was delayed until February, because the 3DS, they wanted to wait for the system to sell more copies so that like Crush 3D wouldn't just get lost in the early shuffle. And then when it was delayed to February, it was then moved up to January. And then we got to that day, and it wasn't out. And then we found out that it was pushed back to March. However, it came out in Europe on that week that it was supposed to come out in North America. And then it was a lot of retailers. I don't think we ever had official confirmation from Sega, but a lot of retailers said it was coming out on March 6th, which was this past Tuesday. And then that came and went, and nothing happened. And right before that, there was a listing from a GameStop, like the internal computer. Someone, you know, just took a picture and sent it to Go Nintendo or something. That said, Crush 3D GameStop exclusive March 13th. So then that thing came up. And then today, JP Corbin actually has the game pre-ordered at GameStop, and he got a text message that says, guess what? It's coming out tomorrow, which it would be March 9th, a Friday. And then I finally got in touch with someone at Sega who said, yes, it is coming out on March 9th, a Friday, for $20, and it is now a GameStop exclusive.
That's weird.
And
there must be some late-minute dealing, like GameStop did something to get it exclusive, and that delayed the launch because they had to sign paperwork or something.
Yeah. But, I mean, it just kind of sucks. And I actually called my local GameStop tonight because apparently some places were selling it early, and they told me that it was coming out on March 13th. So... Who even knows
Tuesday,
at this point?
They probably didn't get their shipment in or something.
But, it's super confusing. And it kind of sucks for this game, because it seems like it's a pretty cool game. And I guess the budget price might do it good, but the fact that it's GameStop exclusive I don't think really helps it.
Nope. Not in the least.
I won't be buying it.
Yep, me too.
I mean, this is like the equivalent of, like, Nintendo saying that Xenoblade was going to come to North America, and then just kind of stopping talking about it, and it's just like, oh yeah, it's just GameStop exclusive. By the way.
Just so you know, none of you can want to buy this now.
What?
I said, no, go on. I was being sarcastic and not funny.
I mean, now that it's $20, I'll probably definitely get the game. I really dug the demo, and I recommend people check it out.
It's a pretty cool demo game. On the eShop?
Yeah, it came out last week. It's worth checking out. I mean, it's a cool little puzzle platformer with some neat mechanics. Alright, the next news on the docket is the Kid Icarus Uprising AR card situation, which revealed at E3 last year. There's this whole AR card thing. There's apparently like hundreds of them or some
crazy
crap.
Do we know
what
the AR cards do yet? Because last time I saw it was like, it just made a picture of two dudes fighting, but they didn't really, do anything. All they did was fight forever, like an animated GIF.
I mean, I think someone will eventually win, but there's really seemingly no point to it. I believe there's some kind of collectible element to them.
Course.
Because, like, once you scan a card, then, like, it tracks it, and I think there's all these different idols you can collect, and then there's items that do something as well. I think you may be able to get, the weapons in-game or something. So, I mean, it seems neat, I guess. But what we're finding out as we're getting closer to launch, which, as of this recording, we're 2 weeks away, the AR cards will have a limited distribution in North America. And so the only places you'll be able to get them are events like GDC, which is where Aaron Kalutzka found out about this. In magazines, the new issue of GameFormer is going to have a card in it.
Nintendo Power, I'm sure.
Yeah, Nintendo Power. Tournaments, which they're having at GameStop to commemorate the launch. And I think they're going to have more events after that. Probably stuff like PAX, they'll be giving stuff out. E3. But yeah. So
good luck finding them.
I mean, I don't honestly think it's that big of a deal, because it is something where it's just, I mean, it's just a bonus game. I don't really think there's anything more to it than that. So, yeah.
Yeah, but in Japan, they're like, what is it? You buy like a chocolate bar and you get a Kid Icarus card. Like, you can just, if you want a Kid Icarus card, you can just go pay like 89 cents for a Hershey bar.
Well, there, there
is
Kid Icarus Uprising Choco Snacks.
Yeah. I mean, if you want the, if, you know,
gamer
the
fuel.
Comes with free chocolate. That's great.
Yeah. Here, each box includes one of 20 AR cards.
I have to like fucking fly all the way across the country to E3, yeah. But they're probably going to give me like two lousy cards for that.
I actually have some from last E3 that supposedly work with the finished game.
Oh, so. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm already ahead of the game. They will be up on eBay by the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Put them up on eBay the day the game comes out, I bet you make at least $50.
I don't know if we'll get that dastardly. But yeah, I mean, that's the AR cards in the game. I think the game looks really cool outside of that, but I think I might be alone on that on the show. No one else seems to really care.
I am waiting for the reviews.
Well, I should...
Zach.
I should be getting the review copy any day now, so I'll let you know. And we'll probably be talking about it next week.
I'm interested in... I feel like it could be really good, but I feel like it's... I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a chance there might be, like, some major problem with it.
There is definitely a hit-or-miss potential with this game.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But if enough of the people I trust like it, I may end up getting it.
Yeah, and the multiplayer might be pretty cool. It's supposedly, like, third-person Smash Brothers. And you can turn into Shrimp Tempura. There is a Tempura Wizard.
Smash Brothers. Part of me work.
Yeah, how does that work?
Well, basically, it's just a zany action game.
Oh, part of me is interested in it because the last trailer they showed, like, it started out looking like, oh yeah, this is what like a modern Kid Icarus game would look like. But then it got like fucking crazy Devil May Cry looking. Like this,
yeah.
Like, this one dude who's like totally looks like he was designed by some Capcom artist who doesn't fit in the game at all. But somehow,
I love that.
Why is he there? I have to find these answers to these questions.
The story is so ridiculous. That's always been my main appeal to this game from this first trailer with the terrible and cheesy voice acting. Is that like, I just think the story is going to be hysterical. And it seems like there's going to be a lot of humor in this game and a lot of like self-referential stuff.
Yeah.
They do have the latest trailer that came out. Yeah, the latest trailer that came out today does actually have like tons of stupid jokes in it.
Oh god, now I have to watch that. I haven't watched that yet.
I'll give you. Maybe we'll put a link in the show notes, and I'll show you the link after we finish recording. It's fucking hysterical. Some of the stuff. There is a tempura wizard, and he turns you into shrimp tempura. And if you don't get away from him, he'll eat you.
Oh my god! What if there's a whole bunch of different wizards? Because like, obviously, the eggplant wizard.
Yeah.
But, like,
I mean,
what
he's
if there's
back.
Like, but what if there's like a legion of food-based wizards in this
game? That
would
be amazing.
Oh god, I have to get it now.
But. Yep. So the next news we got is there was a big eShop announcement. It's kind of weird because traditionally we usually just find out about like the games either the week before or the day it comes out. But now it seems like both North America and Europe are doing the thing that Japan always does, which is, you know, basically at the beginning of a month let you know what's coming out. So coming out this week we had Punch-Out for Virtual Console. Which I got, but I haven't actually played yet. I just downloaded it before I left work.
The one game they should have made a 3D classic.
Yeah.
And didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's still Punch-Out and it's portable, and I love me some Punch-Out, so
yeah.
I'll begrudgingly play it. But, yeah. The other game that came out today is Fun Fun Mini Golf Touch, which is from Shinen. We have a review up on the site. I don't know if you guys have anything to add.
Shit, the guys who make all the shmups?
Yeah.
Wow, they made a golf game. That's great.
Yeah, they made a Wii Win. It's a... I guess a sequel / remake of a WiiWare game that came out a couple years ago. But yeah, so they're both out today when we're recording, March 8th. And next week we will have the three Game Gear games. So that'll get all launched. It'll be Sonic the Hedgehog Triple Trouble, which will be $5. Shinobi, which will be $4. And Dragon Crystal, which will be $3. And Dragon Crystal... It's apparently some sort of roguelike. I have zero interest in that game.
Ugh, I hate roguelikes.
But Shinobi and Sonic the Hedgehog might be pretty fun. I think Sonic the Hedgehog Triple Trouble is the best Game Gear Sonic game.
I'm excited about this because I had a Game Gear as a kid. That was my first non-Nintendo system. It's tough to admit. And I liked it, like, a lot. but it burned through batteries insanely fast, and eventually I ended up selling it to buy like a couple, like a Super Nintendo game or something.
And I think I've said this before, but I saw Game Gear at the comic shop one time. I forgot how friggin' huge they are.
Oh, it's massive.
They are giant, and they eat batteries like candy.
Yeah, six AA batteries, and it ran for like, I think, maybe 4 hours.
It was the least portable thing I ever owned. I think I may have like played it on one trip, and then I would just play it at and an AC adapter for it, so I just play it at home and plug it into a wall.
Yeah,
so,
I played with it a lot in the car because my parents bought the car kit thing for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Car adapter.
We had a car kit for the Game Boy.
Yeah, but like the funny thing is I had that and I barely used it because the battery life was so amazing.
Yeah, Game Boy had great battery life.
Oh, it's by comparison, sure.
The key of all electronic devices, the statistic that no one looks at but everyone really needs to know about.
That is true.
Yep. So the other stuff that we found out about is that Quetzal's Corridors, which I mentioned earlier, the sequel to Through Space, which is a WiiWare game. It's kind of like one of those, like I guess, like hole-in-the-wall things where like you're moving a Tetris block and you need to get it so it goes through like a hole in a hole.
Yeah,
no, Aaron, I was just talking to him about playing.
You mean like the keys, like the keys in Skyward Sword?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, or that one mode in Tetris 3D.
I thought the keys in Skyward Sword were stupid.
But stupid thing. Apparently it's basically like Through Space, but it's like in some kind of like Mayan setting. There's apparently multiplayer for both single and multi-card. Or I guess it's a download game, so there are no cards. But so that seems all nice and cool. It's already out in Japan. It's one of those games that has like four different names. Like a different one in each region. In Europe, it's called Speed Through Potzel's Puzzle. And in Japan, I think it's called Through Space or some Japanese approximation of that. The next game that we
Super
know about,
happy,
and that
fun
one's,
through
that one's
space
set
time.
For, I believe, Quetzal's Corridors, I believe, is set for an April release. It's the next Nintendo published slash developed eShop game.
Right.
The next thing on this
Wait, what
release
is the name
list,
of that one again?
Quetzal's Corridors.
Oh, that's the same one. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The next one is Zombie Slayer Dio, which is from UFO Interactive, who made Samurai Sword Destiny for eShop, which Zach reviewed and did not have that many kind words to say.
No.
That is coming out on March 22nd, and it's a rhythm game that stars a samurai guitarist who has to time his button presses to slay zombies.
And you didn't
oh
like it?
Oh my god, excellent.
Well,
it is the
first game that these guys made for eShop.
That I want to play.
Yeah, the concept of this game is absolute dynamite. However, from videos that I've seen, I can't say I'm too excited for it, but I'll pay attention to it when it comes out to see if it's worth getting, because the concept is wonderful.
Let me tell you, it can't be any worse than that sword hero crap.
Yeah. And then another thing that we found out about was Arc Style Soccer 3D, which was a launch game in Japan. And, I mean, that's a soccer game from Arc System Works. It's coming out in March or April. Apparently there is multiplayer, and you can take pictures of yourself and put them on characters.
Great.
And the final game that we found out about was Colors 3D, which is coming out in April. And that is basically Swapnote, but better. Because you have a lot more control over the stuff that you create. You can do different layers. You have a lot more like colors that you can use and tools and stuff like that. It should be pretty cool.
Is that like a paid app kind of thing?
Yeah, that's the only thing is that I think
it's
$6. But I mean, it's got all this online sharing stuff too, so I think it might be pretty cool. It just unfortunately costs money compared to
$6.
Free. I think it's $6.
Oh my god! Why would they not price it at $2? Is the lowest the eShop goes, right? You need to price that at $2.
Yeah.
Who's going to buy that for $6?
Yeah.
Swapnote is free. You can't price it at $6. No one will buy that.
And the last thing with this eShop stuff is that Rhythm Thief will get a demo on April 19th. We still have no idea when this game is coming out in North America. It looks fantastic.
I'm interested.
And I guess that kind of means that it'll probably come out at the end of April. It's coming out in the beginning of April in Europe. It's already out in Japan. There's that off chance it could come out before, but a lot of these demos seem to be coming out right before the games hit stores. Mm-hmm. So I would think it's coming out on April 19th, and maybe we'll see it either
the week before, the Thursday before, yeah.
Yeah. April 24th or something. I'm not even sure. So, yeah, that's all the eShop news we got. Seems to be pretty cool. I mean, it doesn't mention everything, and they say that this is just a sample. So hopefully we'll get stuff like Wario Land before this month is out.
Where the frick is Wario Land? Whatever game came out last. Okay, here's a little rant for me. I don't want every week to have an NES game that's already available on the Wii Virtual Console, and we already have.
Or at least have that be the only thing. This week I'll give it a flyer. You know why? Because we got a new eShop game, and I might not be running out to buy the mini golf game, but we got a new eShop game and an NES game. Last week was just Metroid, which is just like, come on, dude, what the hell?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that shit anyway.
Can I go on a side rant of? I already own these games on my Wii. Why the fuck do I have to pay you again for them?
Yeah.
Like, if I buy an app on my iPhone, I don't even have to download it on my iPad. This shit just does it, like, automatically. Like, they want me to have my purchases available in all locations. And Nintendo is like, oh, you paid us $6 on Wii? Guess what? Now you're paying us $4 on 3DS. Suck it. You want to play it on the go again? You're paying me up.
The original Metroid is terrible and nobody should play it.
Yeah, I know what you're playing.
The only reason why I have that on my system is because it was free.
Yes, me too. Although it's probably more playable now with the save state. Although not really.
Because you still don't have a map.
Although you could just do a save state at that miraculous time where you're at 100% health. So that you could just go back to that instead of dying and having to farm for health for like 20
that's
minutes.
That's the worst. The last news that we have is that Renegade Kid, the guys who developed Mutant Muds, teased a new eShop game that seems to be called Bomb Monkey, and you appear to be a monkey who throws bombs in some sort of puzzle game. I know Aaron was saying that this looks like it might be somewhat similar to Wario's Woods, which I would be so happy if that were true.
Man, I haven't played that shit in years.
I never played it.
I really enjoy that game.
I missed a lot of games, apparently.
A lot of people just missed Wario's Woods. I would not feel like you are missing out on it. Like, it's a great game, but a lot of people seem to miss it. It was a late NES game. I think it was actually the last NES game. And it also came out on Super Nintendo, but I've never played the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, I think it's basically the same game.
There's like some tweaks. It's got like Birdo, but I think Birdo's a weird. Oh no, Wario's purple in this game.
What?
Yeah. This is,
I guess Wario had never been in color at that point.
Yeah, because he was just on Game Boy.
Yeah.
And that is all the news that we have.
Sweet.
I guess I got a few business things, once again, to remind everyone. On Friday, April 6th at 10 a.m. in the Arachnan Theater, Scott, Lauren, and I will be hosting a round of Connectivity Jeopardy live at PAX
OMG.
East.
I hate you so much.
I'm going to be so excited. It's going to be great. I'm nervous.
Y'all should go. I'm writing questions.
Yes. Zach and Mike are working on questions.
Tell me about that. You should tell me what you're writing.
I would, but I haven't written any yet.
Oh, cool.
And the other business stuff that I got is we started a forum thread for a new feature that will be a site feature and also have some factor on connectivity. We're basically doing like an NWR game club that will be each month we'll kind of focus on a game. People will, we'll discuss it in the forums. We'll have a segment on connectivity about it. And we'll also have articles and features that are kind of centered around that game. The list right now that we have for voting is A Boy and His Blob, the Wii version, House of the Dead Overkill, Silent Hill Shattered Memories, Let's Tap, and the lone DS one is Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. Ironically, didn't plan this. They all came out in 2009.
Oh my god.
You guys are going to make me buy that fucking House of the Dead game. I almost bought it like years ago.
Dude, you need to just.
And
just,
if I have an excuse to buy it, I'm going to fucking buy it right away.
Well, then I will have to rig this and hope it wins.
The same thing will happen if you pick A Boy and His Blob, because I was like, I think I held that in my hand at Best Buy once and almost walked out of the store with it.
Man, we need to get a strategy RPG up on this list so that it automatically wins. And I don't have to participate.
I wouldn't participate in it because I would not have, like, forever and a year to play the game before we talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. I think I'll give this tease to you connectivity listeners, but when we were talking about this, we toyed with making May's game Xenoblade. But who knows if that'll happen or not. But
no,
we toyed with making this one, Majora's Mask, for a while, but like no one who has the time to sit down and play all Majora's Mask in like a week and a half or however long we have to play it.
Hell, I still have to play Skyward Sword.
But I mean, that's part of the idea of this, is that we're doing the voting right now. We're in the, you know, the first week of March. So the voting, we'll know what game we're playing by March 15th.
Yeah.
And it'll basically, all the features and everything, this is partially to give us time to kind of prep content, but all the features will be running during April. So, you know, you got about a month and a half to play it, although then hopefully if we actually do another month, we'll find out what that game is by, you know, mid to late April. So there might be some overlap, but if, I mean, that way, if there's a game and you're not really into, you can just skip it and wait for the next one, or if there's a game you're really excited for, you can dive into it. And we'll have some sort of nominations thread pretty soon.
Can I talk about something real quick? Metal Gear 3 is awesome no matter what system you play it for, and you should all buy it somehow and play it. But if you buy it for the 3DS, you're going to need that CirclePad Pro. Which I
paid $50. It's basically unplayable without it.
Have you played the game?
I played the demo, but like the demo doesn't really give you a grasp of like the controls that much because it's so slow.
There are certain boss fights that I don't think could be won without the CirclePad Pro.
I would imagine the one with the end.
The end and the fear.
Which one's the fear?
The fear is the spider dude. Game.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Oh God, you haven't played this game, Neil?
No,
he's never played it.
Actually, I own the 3DS game, but it's still the
Wait till you get to the fucking end. Not the end of the game. I mean, the boss fight against this guy named the end. The boss fight, I think I sat in front of the television for 3 hours in that boss fight. And I didn't have to play it a lot. That was once. It took me 3 hours to beat him once.
How did it take you 3 hours? You can trip over him every once in a while by accident.
No, I wasn't 3 hours. Okay. It was probably about at least 30 minutes, though.
That is easily my favorite fight in the game.
I've heard a lot about this game, a lot of the story stuff, I already know what happens.
The story in Metal Gear does not matter.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard the ending of it is pretty poignant. Yeah. I'm excited to dive into it. It's just that I still have that kind of barrier, because people always talk about how friggin' obtuse the Metal Gear Solid games are.
Because
my first experience to the series was Twin Snakes.
Twin Snakes.
And then I played Metal Gear Solid 2 a couple years after that. And
those two are the most... Metal Gear Solid 2 is insanely obtuse.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I only got halfway through Metal Gear Solid 2 before it just kind of, stopped.
Halfway through and it gets to all that, shit, like the lale lule lo, and it's like, wait, but every time they say that, they really mean Patriots? I don't understand. What is going on? Oh my God, my brain.
But then they tell you everything in 4.
Yeah, 4 is still pretty obtuse.
Oh yeah.
I'll have to crack this game open. I mean, I've never played it before, and I figured the 3DS one seemed to be an ideal time to jump on and play it, because I play my 3DS quite a lot, and I mean, while it doesn't seem completely like a portable game, I'm more apt to play it as a portable game than I would
buy. Oh, it totally is.
I mean, I don't think I'd go buy this HD collection, and I probably wouldn't bust out my PS2 at this point, so.
I have the HD collection, and that game looks phenomenal in HD.
I believe
Holy
it. It was a late
crap.
PS2 game. It was supposed
to
be a PS3
game. It looked amazingly good for a PS2.
Yeah, and they cleaned, and the HD version is 60 frames per second all the time, so you don't have those little frame skips during cutscenes.
Oof.
Looks phenomenal.
Yeah, I think back on it, I remember seeing the first trailers for it I was at the E3 that they unveiled it at, and I remember watching the trailer for it on one of those fucking giant LCD jumbotrons that every booth has, but it was a really nice one, though, and they had a Konami, and it was just this isn't, this is a PlayStation 2 game?
It was supposed to be a PS3 game at a time, but I think the PS3 kind of got delayed or something happened, and then it ended up being a PS2 game.
And Metal Gear Solid 2 was the same way. It was a really, really early PlayStation 2 game. When people saw it, they were like, oh my God, this is an amazing video game system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then same thing with Metal Gear 4, actually. That game
still looks really good.
Those
guys are graphical, beasts.
Well, I mean, they did have the new Fox Engine stuff where they had the picture of a real office and then the rendered office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you could not tell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil, definitely crack that game open. I mean, if you need some pointers on how to How to not get too frustrated, I can give them to you, but damn, that's a good game.
Yeah, I mean, it's more, I mean, it's been a time factor, too, but because I got it off Amazon because, you know, I had credit, and then I got $10 credit that I used for SSX.
Nice.
It was a great idea.
We need to speak about, man, we need to record that SSX segment, but I will just say briefly that if you like SSX, the new SSX, barring about a third of the tracks, which are utter shit, the rest of the game is, like, blissfully good.
It's like a Mario Kart game.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I would.
It is actually that makes me feel better. That makes my opinion of SSX feel better because every time I play it, I'm like, "This is so good," but this other part of it makes me really.
I mean, there were some parts of that game that I just wanted to break my system, and then my system did break. So maybe I did break it.
Willed your PlayStation 3 to break.
Yes, but I mean, there were so many parts of that game that I just enjoyed so much. The one thing, I mean. You know what, I'll stop, because I think Scott's going to get the game sometime soon, and then we'll have a nice little post-game segment on SSX and why it's awesome. But yeah, nice. That's the news.
And a bit more.
And a bit more. Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. All right, so now we're gonna do something different.
It's, I guess, kind of an evolving game of the year segment titled Pending. I mean, we'll take suggestions if you want to send them over to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. We love it when you do that. Not just this, but just in general. But what we're going to do is look at the games that have come out so far in 2012. We're primarily going to focus on January and February. We're recording this in March, and I guess there's a few things that have come out, but we're going to focus on that. We will include March in a later one. And what we're going to do is I've got Zach Miller.
Hello, hello.
And Patrick Barnett.
Hello, everyone.
They're with me, and the three of us are going to plan to... We're going to hash out a top five of the games that have come out so far. And every month, or every other month, we haven't really decided, we're going to go back and revisit that list and add or tweak it in any way we want to. Like, maybe there's a game we really liked at the beginning of the year, but then as time wore on, we didn't like it as much, or maybe something like, for example, I haven't played Metal Gear Solid 3D yet, so it's not on my list, but I'll probably play that soon. Maybe it'll blow me away, and then it'll jump up on my list. So how we're going to start this off is the three of us each have a list, and we're just going to go through that list. So let's start with Zach.
Hi.
Hi.
My list is exceedingly short.
That is okay.
Because I played more games in 2011. But here it is. Resident Evil Revelations is at the top. Metal Gear Solid 3DS is next, and Mutant Muds is number 3.
All right. How about Patrick?
All right, I guess I should start at the top two. Unlike Zach, I have 5 on mine. Mutant Muds at the top, Resident Evil Revelations, Zen Pinball 3D, Tales of the Abyss, and then coming in at number 5 is Rhythm Heaven Fever.
Mm. All right, so my list is Mutant Muds, Resident Evil Revelations, Rhythm Heaven Fever, Zen Pinball 3D, and Tales of the Abyss. All right.
Our lists are quite similar there, Neil.
Yeah. That's pretty much just like one, like some of them were switched. That's about it. So I guess the one thing that's common with this, and I think we might be able to kind of pick our number one kind of easily, it's between Resident Evil or Mutant Muds. So, I mean, obviously, Patrick and I think that Mutant Muds is number one, but Zach, why do you think Resident Evil is better than Mutant Muds?
Because it's longer than 3 or 4 hours. No, because I love Resident Evil, and Mutant Muds is incredibly short, even though it's good.
I've spent more time with Mutant Muds than I have Resident Evil.
I don't understand that at all. And Resident Evil has raid mode, which is so very addictive.
So you're kind of putting more of that weight onto the multiplayer feature.
Also, Jill Valentine is in.
She does have that dat ass.
Dat ass, yep. So, yes, I am putting Revelations on top because I feel it's a fuller game, but also has that addictive multiplayer. And I will never touch Mutant Muds again now that I've beaten it. I'm sorry. Maybe I will in 2 years when I've forgotten all about it, but, you know, I'm done now.
I think I might be in kind of that same way in how I just said before about, you know, a game that I really liked at the end of the year that might fall down the list. Unfortunately, Mutant Muds might be that kind of game, because now that you say that, I don't know if I'll ever play it again, because I'm 100% of that bitch.
Me too.
I enjoyed every second of it. I mean, I plunked 8 hours into it, which I think you would call blasphemous, but it's factual and correct. But I don't know if I'll ever touch it again. Whereas with Resident Evil Revelations, yes, currently I've played it less than Mutant Muds, but I've got a lot more of that game to play. I feel like I've barely scratched the surface with Rain Mode. I still haven't finished the campaign.
Yeah.
For me, I haven't even touched Raid Mode yet, so maybe that would actually bump Resident Evil up above Mutant Muds.
Yeah. So I guess Patrick, why would you have Mutant Muds above Resident Evil, or would you change it at all?
Currently I'd still keep Mutant Muds above it. For Mutant Muds, I played it 2 days straight, 8-9 hours, just like you, Neil, and I thought it was really addictive. And the one thing, I keep coming back to the soundtrack. I found it online.
It's
love
really
the music
good.
In that game, yeah.
It just, I mean, it fits so well with that style of game, too.
You people need to link me to that.
I mean, I just listened to it in the game. I actually haven't listened to it outside of the game yet.
The other day, I was driving somewhere, and I left my 3DS open in my car just so I could hear that music.
It's so good.
It was very good.
All right, so, I mean, Resident Evil or Mutant Muds. That is the competition right now for number one.
And I think we all know it's Resident Evil.
I mean, I'm torn. I mean, I don't know.
Whenever we do this again, hopefully I'll have touched Raid Mode, and then maybe I'll have a better opinion.
I mean, I'm thinking we put Resident Evil at number one and Mutant Muds at number two.
Fine.
Patrick?
That's fine.
All right.
Sounds
so now we have our number one is Resident Evil Revelations. Our number two is Mutant Muds.
Yeah.
Now, number three. For Zach, his number two was Metal Gear Solid 3D. And then for me and Patrick, we had Rhythm Heaven Fever was my number three, and Zen Pinball 3D was Patrick's.
Yeah.
Now, I guess, I mean, Zach, you really only have Metal Gear Solid 3D, so I guess that's pretty much the only thing you're going to be fighting for the rest of this. Personally, I don't think that deserves to be over Rhythm Heaven or Zen Pinball, or
probably
Tales
not.
Of the Abyss, for that matter.
It's not an original title.
Yeah. So I guess it's between Rhythm Heaven and Zen Pinball for number three, I think. Would anyone disagree with Zen Pinball is what we want to go with? I mean, Patrick, I assume you would agree with that because you already have it at number three.
Yeah, Zen Pinball was just, I thought it was really addictive. I can't even remember how much time I put in that, but you guys remember I was number one in the States on the one table.
I was very proud. I mean, it's definitely the kind of game that I'll go back to a lot, too. I think Zen Pinball 3D is just a fantastic game to have on the system.
It's something you can just break out whenever and just play a quick round.
It looks fucking awesome in 3D.
Yeah.
And I think those guys are making the Marvel pinball game.
Yeah.
So that
and
should be coming.
Maybe DLC tables for Zen Pinball?
I would really love that. I mean, I really think it's a great game. It's a fun pinball game. So
the
I guess
one thing that was bad about it, some of the tables were a little lackluster. I found myself only really playing one of them.
Yeah, I played Excalibur and the End of the World board. The other two
I was not really too crazy about.
But even still, I mean, I put a bunch of time into everything there.
Yeah, it was
still need that
good
game.
Overall.
You should
really
definitely pick it up.
Need that game.
just go buy it after this.
I know, I will.
All right, so I think that's a number three. And then for four and five, we've got three games to go into two spots. We got Rhythm Heaven Fever, Tales of the Abyss, and Metal Gear Solid 3D.
Metal Gear?
I disagree.
I don't give a crap about most RPGs. And I'm not a big Tales guy.
See, that's kind of where I feel like I'd be, too.
I think Tales of the Abyss is a game where if you're into it, you're into it, and if you're not, you're just not.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. So far, I put a couple hours into it, and I'm not super sold on it. It's a Tails game, but it's a very good Tails game. I can give it that. But yeah. I mean, I'd lean towards Rhythm Heaven, personally, but that's because I think Rhythm Heaven deserves to be commended in some way. And it's also a fantastic game.
Yeah, it is.
Although it is kind of balls hard.
I just finished Remix 10 in Rhythm Heaven the other night, and wow, it was hard.
But it's a very fun game. Zach, where do you stand on Rhythm Heaven games?
Did you play any of them?
Did you play the DS one at all?
No, but I've seen him played, and I've watched video, and I just, yeah, I don't care.
What's that the like? I mean, there's one where, like, you, like, kick a weasel. Or no, you want to protect the weasel by kicking sports balls away from
him. It's like WarioWare with following the beat.
Yeah?
And you know what? I'm not a big WarioWare guy. I like the WarioWare on the Ambassador games. Haven't liked any of the other ones.
I thought the WarioWare Wii game was pretty good.
I did too, the multiplayer, and that was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember sitting around with like 7 or 8 people playing the one minigame.
Yeah, I think at one point...
Don't you have to unlock that mini mode?
Yeah, that's dumb.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I need to play... I can't put time into other Wii games that are not Zelda right now, so... Maybe I should play that.
Yeah.
Neil, in Rhythm Heaven, did you get to try out the multiplayer?
No, actually, I did not.
I got to play that with my brother, and that was actually pretty... It was like the minigame, or like each rhythm game, but it kind of split the music up between two different parts, where sometimes the one player would do something, and then the other player would take over in the middle of the rhythm.
That sounds kind of cool. How many games are multiplayer enabled?
There was only like 9 of them.
That kind of sucks. Yeah.
That sounds like it could get really kind of weird. Like the next guy has to be right on it, doesn't he?
Yeah. Neil, you played the one with the monkey.
Monkey
with
watch?
The tambourine.
The tambourine.
Like that one. Like one player had to play the first 4 notes, and the second player had to play other 4 notes.
That sounds brutal, but a lot of fun. I mean, that's the thing. Is that game is very brutal, but it is a ton of fun.
I mean, isn't it cheap?
Yeah, it's $30.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. 4 and 5. This is tough. Patrick, would you have any inclination for putting Metal Gear Solid 3D on this list?
I have zero interest in putting that on the list.
So Zach has zero interest in putting Tales of the Abyss on the list.
None.
Do you have any interest in putting Rhythm Heaven on this list?
Sure.
I think Rhythm Heaven's our number 4.
It is a Wii game, and it did come out in 2012. Yeah.
We
so
need to celebrate
that.
This. So Rhythm Heaven is number 4.
Excellent.
To recap, as we get near the end of this segment, it looks like it's not going to be too long. We got Resident Evil Revelations at number 1, which came out in February. Mutant Muds. It's number 2. That's an eShop game from Renegade Kid. Zen Pinball 3D is number 3, and that is an eShop game from Zen Studios. And Rhythm Heaven Fever is a Nintendo game. It's a Wii game. And number 5, it's between Tales of the Abyss or Metal Gear Solid 3D.
Metal Gear?
What's your argument for Metal Gear, Zach?
Well, they're both PS2 ports. So.
Yes. Here's my argument for Metal Gear. If people have not played it, they need to, and this is an excellent way to do so. It is one of the best games I've ever played from a storyline perspective, and the subsistence port, which this is a port of, or the subsistence version, which this is a port of, is the best way to play it, the most playable version, and holy crap, it's a good game. Oh my gosh.
My one
problem makes me tear up at the end, all right? That's how good it is.
It
warms my cold, cold heart.
It's basically unplayable without the Circle Pad Pro you said.
That is true.
Yeah, that is a big detriment.
Yes, it is. But you know what it's not? It's not Tales of the Abyss.
But that plays fine without the Circle Pad Pro.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. If, say...
It has a one-eyed snake popping out of your screen at you.
If for both of these games, let's say the one that you guys are championing, that misses the list. would you think that you would bring it back up to get on the list in, say, 2 months?
After,
I feel like
Kid Icarus comes out, I don't know.
That's true. I mean, I had Tails pretty far down on my list to begin with, so it might just get bumped off.
Yeah. Assuming, well, I mean, Zach, how about you? Would Metal Gear, do you think if that were to get kicked off here, would you consider bringing it back later?
I'd consider it if nothing else came out. Like, I assume that, like, at the end of the year when we are deciding our top 10 list, this won't be anywhere near the top.
So, here's, I'm going to look for, actually, here's what I'm going to do. I actually found this, kind of got lost with the review copy. I'm going to do a live taste test. There was a Tales of the Abyss, like the little, what are they called?
Valentine candy
hearts.
Yeah,
like the Valentine candy hearts.
I remember seeing pictures of
this. I'm gonna try to open this. This will be a live taste test.
Wow.
I mean, it'll probably just taste like stale sugar. But I'll flip one of them in the air.
Oh,
heads,
okay.
It
seems biased because it's a Tales of the Abyss product.
This is, it says Guy's name on it. I find it funny. They have characters' names on it.
Before you do this, Neil, this sounds very familiar to our 2011 Game of the Year.
Yeah, yeah, this is kind of my default thing. Oh, yeah, because you guys are fighting over Pushmo and Mighty Switch Force.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to flip this thing in the air. If it lands on Guy, Tales of the Abyss is number 5. If it lands on the stuff with no writing on it, then Metal Gear Solid is number 5.
Excellent. All right,
hold on.
His name is Guy? How unoriginal can you get?
It landed on Guy. All right, yes. Now I'm going to eat this as I write down that Tales of the Abyss is our number 5 game.
Although
so far, Snake's, 2012.
Snake's name is Jack, so that's not original either.
Well, there's also, what, Eon, or whatever, Ion, Luke,
Fang,
Jade.
Or is it, no, not Fang. Jade, yeah. What's the tier?
All right. This is pretty sugary. Feels stale. Yeah, it's what I expected.
Here you have it, folks, a live tasting of some crappy candy that came with a 3DS.
Thank you, Namco Bandai, for providing us with the means to solve this dilemma. It worked out for you, because your game is still on the list.
Somehow still on top.
Yep.
Yep.
So do we want to mention any other games that came out in 2012 that aren't on the list, but we feel is worth mentioning?
No.
All right.
Can we go
wait.
Non-Tendo games that came out in 20?
Actually, yeah, let's do that. How about everyone mention one? We'll keep on this list. We'll do one non-Tendo game. Mine would be NFL Blitz.
Really? I've heard...
It came out for Xbox Live Arcade and PSN,
I think it was
or SEN.
Who was saying that was shitty.
I honestly, it's the most fun I've had multiplayer in a sports game since Sega Soccer Slam.
Really?
And other than that, ever. NFL Blitz, it's brilliant. It's amazing.
You still do late hits?
You can't do late hits. That is the one detriment. But, I mean, just the game is so smartly made. There's a lot of depth to it that might not be apparent at first. And even the AI seems pretty smart because, for example, my friends and I, after just playing the multiplayer for a while, we've been working our way through Blitz Gauntlet, which is how you unlock all the crazy teams.
Mm. Like, is it still
robots.
30 yards to a first down?
Yeah, it's still all the same rules. It's just that no late hits because the NFL is just like, hey, we can't support that.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's really cool is that, like, while playing the AI, I've run into instances where it's like I'll be running with my quarterback a lot, and then I'll notice that the AI will keep a guy around to spy the quarterback and kind of prevent me from running. So it seems like it's pretty smart. I mean, it's made by Tiburon. It's made by the Madden guys. They know football pretty damn well. It was video game football. And it's a fantastic game. My number 2 right below this would be SSX, but I have enough issues with SSX that it can't top Blitz for me. Blitz is just sublime.
I might have to get Blitz.
I mean, definitely check out the demo. The demo, if I recall, I mean, you can play one half of a game with like something like 8 different teams, and the Packers are on that list. So
nice.
But NFL Blitz would be my non-Tendo game of the year thus far.
Cool, man.
Do you guys got one?
I just wanted to bring up Final Fantasy 13 too. Did either of you guys play Final Fantasy 13?
I thought about it, and it's pretty cheap now. I'm just, now that my PS3 is actually in working order, I'd probably try to look for it for that. There was a while where I was thinking about picking it up on 360. I think there was a sale somewhere where it was like $15, and I almost got it, but then I kind of held off, and now it's hovering around 20, and I'm kind of waiting to see if I can find it for, you know, 15 again, and then I might pick it up and try it out.
Well, I wasn't a huge fan of Final Fantasy 13, but Final Fantasy 13 2, it like improves upon everything that was wrong with the first one, and it actually cuts it down to a manageable length, because the first one was around like 40 to 50 hours long, and this one's only like 18. So it was much nicer. Cool. I could get through the story and finish what I needed to finish.
Did you feel shortchanged by the ending that just ends on a cliffhanger?
Yes.
It does? I think
it's for DLC.
I'm not sure. I guess spoiler alert, it just ends with a to-be-continued screen.
Bullshit!
Yeah. But some other bad stuff happens right before it pulls out the to-be-continued. But yeah, the leveling system was just different, and I enjoyed it more.
Cool. Non-Nintendo game for me. Man, I haven't bought a lot of games this year, but I guess by default it's going to have to be Soul Calibur 5, even though I don't like it that much. It's not a good Soul Calibur game.
Well, that's part of the glory of this evolving list, is that, you know, you might not be the biggest fan of the game that we're listing now,
right.
But as the year goes out, you know, the games that, you know, for example, we were arguing over Tales of the Abyss. Let's put it this way. Next time we do this, Tales of the Abyss is getting knocked off. There ain't no bones about it.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, Kid Icarus is just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, just or,
hey, Mario Party 9. Mario Party 9.
Yeah. It's just Soul Calibur 5, it's like your only options are the stupid arcade mode.
Yeah, I heard there's no single player.
Well, there is a single player. It's like a story mode, but it's shitty. It's like an extended arcade mode with a terrible story. And then online.
What the hell is up with Namco Bandai and these fantastically horrible single-player experiences? Because they did the same crap with Tekken 3D Prime Edition, where basically you have like a survival mode where it's basically you need to like fight five enemies in a row and let one life bar, then 10, then 20, then 40, and then maybe even like 100 or something.
Oh, geez.
And then there's just like, you know, fight 10 guys and then see an ending. Like, what the hell? Like, I mean, the funny thing is that, like, the past games, Soul Calibur, like, in Soul Calibur 2, that's pretty much all I played was the damn single player. That was awesome.
Yeah, there was a big, big single player mode. And there was a big single player mode in 1, 2, 3, and 4. Not as much in 4, but it was still there. And 5 is just like, whatever, we're just doing online modes now.
Yeah. And then, Tekken 6, which was the previous Tekken game, that had the kind of thing where it just had this, you know, this kind of full-fledged beat-em-up game that was in it. And, I mean, I remember hearing it was kind of subpar, but even still, at least it's an attempt at something.
Right.
I mean, I think Mortal Kombat got it right. That seemed to have a pretty awesome single-player mode.
I still have to play through that. I have it, but I actually, it was funny. Remember last year there was that buy two for $50 Toys R Us sale?
Yeah.
I bought Mortal Kombat and Portal 2, and I've barely touched either one.
I still need to play Portal 2.
But, that's something I want to get.
Yeah. Well, that is our evolving game of the year segment. And to recap, this is what we got. We got number 1, Resident Evil Revelations. Number 2, Mutant Muds. Number 3, Zen Pinball 3D. Number 4, Rhythm Heaven Fever. Number 5, Tales of the Abyss. And our non-Tendo games, mine is NFL Blitz, Patrick's is Final Fantasy 13-2, and Zach's is Soul Calibur 5. I hope you all enjoyed our first edition of the Evolving Game of the Year podcast segment on connectivity. If you have any comments or if you think there's a way we could do this better, as there most likely is, you can let us know in the forum talkback thread and or you can email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Enron10.
I'm at Papatch15.
I'm at ZMiller1902.
Yeah, so you can let us know on Twitter and be like, why'd you pick Tales of the Abyss? Zach was right.
Zach sure was freaking right.
Yeah.
You may have been right in 2011, but not this time.
But yeah, that's the show. I hope you enjoyed it, and let us know what you think. Bye.
Bye. See ya.
All right, and that will do it for this week's episode of Connectivity. As always, you can send us listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. If you get a chance and want to rate and review us on iTunes, that would be lovely. And also, on the sidebar of the site, you can find the staff Twitter page. So if you'd like to follow all of us on Twitter, we do a lot of kind of bantering, and usually you'll find the inception of a lot of our segments there, as we just basically talk shit to each other. So thanks for listening, and be sure to stick around after this outro for our bonus segment about the PlayStation Vita. We'll see you next week.
Hello everyone, this is Dan Koopman, and we're here with a new thing for Connectivity. I'm here with James Donson.
Hi, hey.
Hey, we're going to talk about the PlayStation Vita, which came out last week. Yeah, it came out last week in Europe and America, exact same day, February the 22nd. We're going to give you an overview on the system, going to give our thoughts, talk about a bit of the games that came out for it, and what we look forward to in the possible near future. So, to start with a bit of an overview on the system, it has a front and back touch. You have your dual analog sticks. You have your usual buttons like a D-pad and the four buttons like the X, the circle, the square, and the triangle. Start, select, all the things that the PlayStation would have. Still, the most interesting thing is, of course, the touchscreens and the analog sticks. It's a very weird thing for a handheld to have. In my personal experience, though, I actually really like the touchscreens. I actually really enjoy having those dual analog sticks here. What about yourself?
Yeah, I love them. Really, is this the first time a handheld's had two dual analog sticks?
I think it does, because I don't think it usually would have worked on a previous handheld system.
Yeah.
Although you could say that, well, the CircuitPad Pro was first, but the Vita was first with the idea.
Yeah.
And let's put it that way.
The Vita was probably the reason that CircuitPad Pro ever released in the first place.
Well, I think that had more has to do with Capcom and wanting to put Monster Hunter on it, but hey, yeah. Let's skip that for now.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about a bit more about the Vita. So, to start with... So, when you start up the system, you will see your UI, which is very different from like the PSP and the PlayStation 3 cross-media bars. All these little apps, they're popped into little bubbles. You click on them with the touchscreen, you can't actually use the buttons, which I find a bit disappointing.
Yeah, that really bothered me. I didn't really want to use the touchscreen very much, because it causes, you know, you get fingerprints and everything on the system. I don't understand why I can't just use the D-pad, even to change pages on the system.
Yeah. That would be a bit easier with like a click on the D-pad or the or the what is it, the circle sticks. But when you basically click on the app, you will see before you open it, it's a bit different, like a 3DS or like an iOS device. Because when you click on the app, you will see this live area. And the live area will give you like a little bit of information or direct things you can access from the app or like an official website or like an option to update the app itself in the background. You can click on a certain section of the app to again directly go to the section of it or go to the website or just decide to just start up the app right from the get-go and get a better feel for it. I usually just like to start up the app because I usually get lost when I just get jumped into something.
Yeah, I actually like the live area on games like Hot Shots and you know the actual games that you have. But when the friends list and all that, I think that should just be immediate because it feels kind of disjointed, making you have to click on it through the live area and have it load.
Definitely. That's something I want to mention as well. With the trophies or the friends list.
Yeah.
They are separate apps on your system, and considering that on PlayStation 3 it was just system level, that is a bit odd.
Yeah, that's probably one of my biggest problems with the system right now.
Yeah, and the same goes for things like the party or the group's messaging system. They are all separate things, and that makes it. It makes it worthwhile, but it's disjointed in places.
Yeah, another app that actually bothers me with that, and I'm not really bothered that it's a separate app, it's the browser, but I'm bothered that you can't play games while you open it. I mean, even the 3DS has the ability to do that.
Yeah. Well, also, I don't really find the browser that really good.
Yeah, I know, because they mentioned that they were working hard on it to make it usable. But it's actually, the 3DS browser is actually better than this one.
Yeah. Well, I hope they don't take long with it because it took like the PSP or the PlayStation 3 around like 4 years to be reasonable.
Yeah.
So I hope they do a better job at that one at the very least. But the more interesting thing, let's go more over the actual new things it adds. So, when you first start up the Vita, you have the option to click into Welcomest Park, or Welcome Park, which is basically like a tutorial section. You can actually get some trophies out of there, surprisingly enough, when you do the tutorials better or faster. Mm. But it's actually quite an interesting thing to get you a little bit more familiar with the system, get a more arousing with the features, although one or two events of them are a bit like, they're just a bit out there.
Yeah, I've actually only done the touch segment where you have to touch the numbers in order and the one where you take pictures of faces.
Yeah.
I've had the hardest time trying to find faces to take pictures of. The only thing that I was able to get to work was a picture of Pikachu.
I haven't found a single face that would recognize it, so it's you have to find actual faces, and if you get a certain amount, you'll get a trophy even for it, but it's insanely difficult to do.
Yeah.
Another thing they introduce here is Nier. So, what Nier is, it's sort of a Street Pass, but not really. But basically, Street Pass. What Nier is that you will have like a GPS connectivity which works overall better on the 3G. I'm using the 3G one for that one. To scan your location, and basically, it will find as much people as possible in your area and gives them like your friend information, what the games they are playing, and sometimes even a little thing for your games called game goods.
Yeah.
The system is, I suppose, okay implemented. Like, I can find even people in my area, surprisingly enough, and I live in an area where I would say not many people would play video games, and I found like 15 people in the area in a radius of 10 kilometers.
Yeah, I actually have the same thing, but It says that there are 20 people in my area, but I can only actually see two for some reason.
Well, that depends on the certain app you decide to open on the selection screen, which I find a bit dumb.
Yeah, because it's actually, I know, I think the people in Player One were talking about how confusing Nier is, and they actually don't understand what it does,
yeah,
or how it does it. And it, compared to Street Pass, it is incredibly confusing.
I find also the notion of like passing people a bit more endearing than finding them through a GPS.
Yeah.
And it also seems like sometimes when you check your location or update it, it doesn't find your exact location that well sometimes.
Yeah.
But you can also see like a wall, like a Facebook wall, all the activities of your friends. And sometimes you even get game goods through them. Which does entice you to check the app also often.
Yeah.
Like, I got a few ghosts for, like, for Rayman Origins, and, like, a few parts for Mud Nation, which I can't use yet, but if I ever got Mud Nation, I could use those parts and directly scan them into my game.
It looks like it has, what's the word? It looks like it may be good in the future. I mean, right now, it looks like
I still find the information of it kind of poorly represented or presented in a way. I would really hope that it would like update it a little bit.
Yeah, it really like, needs to be updated.
To make it a bit more worthwhile, because again, on the system level, like many things on it, it's good but a bit disjointed. That brings me to like the other apps, like Photo Music. Like, music actually supports custom soundtracks in your games.
Yeah, I really like that, actually.
Yeah.
It's perfect for hotshots.
Yeah. And the live area actually allows you to just start up music. You don't need to go in the app itself.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It kind of makes you wonder why the Friends app is actually an app that you have to go to.
Yeah. I still find it a bit weird and awful.
Yeah.
I also like, the video compression on this thing is also really good.
Yeah.
Although you would get not much battery life out of it for watching video, but if you want to do it, it's there. With just the right tools in there, you can just watch a full movie on there.
And the screen is gorgeous.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did we talk about how gorgeous the screen is? We didn't talk about
it. No, we didn't bring that up, actually.
No. The screen is beautiful. But the final thing I want to mention about really the apps thing is like the content manager, because how you access content to your PlayStation 3 or PC is also a bit weird.
Yeah, it's... I know the original PSP, you could just open up a folder and drag it in there. Now I don't want to say it's like iTunes, because it's really not. But it makes you go through a list of things. Because I know I've tried to add pictures to my system, and I have to scroll so far down just looking for them, because it won't let me go to the specific folder that I have in my picture folders on the computer.
Yeah.
So it takes me a long time to find the ones I want.
You need to put in specific settings, and you can only access the content from your Vita, not from your PC. It's a bit weird.
To be honest, I just prefer the way the PSP had it, where you just drag it into a folder.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Although, it does give you a direct taste of which videos and music is compatible, which is okay, I guess.
Yeah.
But enough about the system. Do you like it... Let's end it with a little bit. Do you like it better than the XMB?
No, actually. I
like the idea of it, but it's... The whole bubble thing just... It wants to be an iOS device or an Android, but it clearly isn't.
Yeah. I know a lot of people didn't like the XMB, but I always thought it's probably one of the better UIs of a system.
Yeah.
I was really worried about the kind of the bubble touchscreen thing that the Vita has going on. And it's better than I thought it would be. But at the same time, I would have preferred just having the XMB on the system.
Yeah. Definitely. Did you check any apps, by the way, like Flickr or Twitter or...
Yeah, I've actually been using LiveTweet, and it's a really competent Twitter app. I've tried Netflix as well. Netflix works pretty well. The only app that's not working at the moment for me is Facebook. Every time I click on it, I get an error.
Yeah, same here. I've been using the Twitter one also, and it actually works. It actually is a very reasonable app. It's a very decent one. It's very handy to use. All the functionality seems to be built in quite nicely, and you can have a nice overview of your conversations on Twitter. It's one of my favorite apps so far.
Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah. But enough about apps and system UIs. Let's talk about actual video games. So what games have you been playing on the system here?
All right, I got two games at launch, so I've picked up Hotshots Golf and Mutant Blobs Attack.
Yeah.
Hotshots Golf is actually the first time I've ever played Hotshots game, and it's actually surprisingly good. The reason I picked it up, because I'm a pretty big fan of the Peña Golf series. It's an online game that you can play, and Peña is really just a ripoff of Hotshots, essentially. Mm-hmm. It has... To me, it has better character design and things like that, but otherwise, they're very similar games. And Hotshots seems to do everything right. It's got asynchronous multiplayer as well as multiplayer that you can play with other people.
Gotcha.
The asynchronous multiplayer is the daily international tournaments that allows you to kind of compete for scores with people. And everything works fine. I love the game. It's really good for passing the time. As far as the physics of the golf goes, it all seems to work well. You know, you have wind that affects your ball and slope and other things. And the one thing about the game that I really enjoy is that there's a lot of unlocks as far as costumes and things for your characters. So it seems like it would have a lot of time to put into it. That's the real reason I ended up picking up, because I wanted a game that had a lot of stuff that I can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Although my favorite of the launch titles that I picked up has to be Tales from Space Mutant Blobs Attack.
I played that one too. I bought one at your recommendation. That's a very interesting one, actually. Could you talk about it a little bit?
It's a platformer, but it has some almost Katamari-like qualities where you go around picking up items. Or absorbing them into yourself, and you get bigger as you go. It has some high score parts to it, where, you know, the more items you pick up, and the more there's like these blue dots that you can pick up as you go.
Yeah,
and bring your high score up, and you know the score, you can compete with other people for that. But the interesting thing about it is that it uses the touchscreen and the accelerometer at different parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it doesn't feel forced like other games that I've heard, you know, like Uncharted, the touchscreen elements feel really forced in that one.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that. It actually feels really forced, yeah.
Yeah. I think they did a good job, because usually the touchscreen's used for these platforms that you move around on the game. And they actually feel really good. And as far as with the game, it, being a platformer, you have, you have some interesting little, elements with it, like, your character can actually almost act like a magnet, and you can reverse its polarity, and certain pipes in the game and other platforms, if you can go towards it and away from it and propel yourself that way.
You do that through the touchscreen, right?
No, I don't think that one, that uses the left and right buttons.
Okay.
Yeah, it actually works really well. And what surprises me about this game is I played the demo of the first game on PS3, and I wasn't really impressed. It could have just been as a bad demo, but this game really controls really well. And every level is actually fairly long, maybe 5 to 10 minutes for each level. And it has really good humor. The story's pretty nice. The cutscenes are great. The art in this game is probably the best I've seen on the system other than Rayman Origins, I think.
Yeah.
So what do you think of it?
I just haven't played too much of it. I think I've played like 6 levels of it, and I thought I would get back to it later. But I've been really digging it. It has been a really impressive little title. I think it also uses like the little features of the Vita well, like the touchscreen in some places, the sticks, the buttons. You get really a good sense of the system, and that's what most titles of the Vita are a bit lacking, like how to present the whole system well. And I found that Tales of Space was one of the better ones to do that.
Yeah, it did a much better job than something like Little Deviants.
So. Definitely, it's also cheaper than Little Deviants.
Yeah, for $7, well, it's either 7 or 8.
It's 7 euros over here, so I assume it's $7.
Yeah. It's a really good deal, and the game's actually fairly long. I mean, I'm probably about 75% through with the game.
Yeah.
But it's really good.
Yeah, it's definitely one that people need to pick up, regardless if they're gonna buy something at retail.
Yeah.
Definitely, it's something that should be considered. Another downloadable title, that's actually a good tying to somebody else, a nice segue, is MotorStorm RC.
Yeah.
Which is another downloadable title, which I played a bit more of. Which you basically, if you buy the game, which is $7 or 7 euros, you actually get a PlayStation 3 version and a Vita version. Which, from the get-go, that's a good deal.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what you do, it's not necessarily a MotorStorm game. It's you have a little RC car. You can set the controls yourself the way you like it. So you can put it more to your own liking, really. You have several challenges you need to compete in. You go for your best times. You fight against other little racers. You unlock stuff along the way. It's a very enjoyable little title. It's a small racing game for on the go. It's well worth your money.
Yeah, it's actually not out on the U.S. store yet. I think it comes out in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is kind of odd because I was kind of looking forward to that game.
It's really worth it. It's next to Tales of Space. Those two are the best downloadable titles I've played so far on my Vita, and for both $7, 7 euros, you get something out of it.
You know, there's one other downloadable title they released, and that was Stardust Delta, or Super Stardust Delta.
That's another good one.
Yeah.
Man, that's already a strong lineup of free games.
If
you buy a PlayStation card and buy these free games, you have enough content for like a little while. Super Stardust Delta, I haven't played too much of that. I've been really focusing on those other two. Because of the sheer quality that those two titles had. And, I like competing scores, and that's what also those two games do, so. It keeps me going for a little while.
Yeah. I was actually really looking forward to Super Stardust Delta, and that's part of the reason I ended up getting the 3G launch bundle, because it was, if you activated your AT&T 3G data plan, you were supposed to get the game free. But it turns out that I have to wait a month until I can get the game for free.
I actually will also get a game soon for registering my 3G Vita, which is Wipeout. But I should be getting that in the upcoming week or so.
I actually really enjoyed Wipeout when I played it at GameStop. It felt kind of, I don't know, it's kind of bland. There's not anything really special about it. But the game was actually pretty fun.
Yeah. The only downloadable title we haven't talked about now at this point is, what's the title called again? Escape Plan.
Yeah, Escape Plan.
I haven't downloaded that one though yet.
They have a demo unit at our GameStop in my town, and I played it there as well. It's kind of interesting, but I couldn't really figure out what to do at first, because then you have to use both the back and front touchscreen to move your character. It's a puzzle game, and you're trying to guide your character through these areas that are kind of these hazardous areas, and it seems like it would be really nice. The art's really kind of cool. It almost has this kind of like a spy versus spy look to it.
Nice.
But I was kind of confused on what to do, because the back, when you touch the back touchscreen, I think there's either a, there's a different color line that comes up on the screen, and there's a different color line when you do the front, so I'm not really sure what the difference is.
I think some puzzles you need to pop up panels from the back through the behind touchpad.
That might be it.
Yeah, that, you need to do some puzzles with both touchscreens later on in the game, so I heard. But I'm not too sure about that.
I think the only thing about that game I've really heard, though, is that maybe it's too short for the price.
Yeah.
Because I know it's one of the more expensive downloadable titles.
It's here, it's 11 euros and 25 euro cents.
I think it might be $14.99 here.
That's a bit odd. We have very different pricing on that title.
Yeah. I could be wrong, though. Let me give it a check when we're talking.
That's good. While you're doing that, there's one more downloadable title, but that's a preview bundle exclusive for Europe, basically, which is Furbisher Says, which is kind of a WarioWare type game. I would say that's also a very good game that would represent the system, but it's not available to the public yet.
Yeah.
What you basically do is that you use the various buttons, the touchscreen, the back touch, the cameras, to do these little assignments within a certain time range. And it's really, really funny. It's really funny and quirky. Mm-hmm. So when it comes out, I don't know when, I would suggest giving that a look.
Yeah.
And the final two games, like retail games I've been playing, is Rayman Origins, which, like everybody else before me has told you, is a fantastic game. You should buy that. And Lumines, which I'm just addicted to. There's just something... There have been several versions of that game on various different platforms, like on Xbox Live Arcade and stuff.
Yeah.
But just something just feels right about playing on a Sony handheld. And the music, they chose some very good songs to represent that game too, like LCD Sound System and such. Mm. So there's a lot of content to enjoy. There's like 50 skins, so 50 different songs to play through. So that should give you ample of time to get something out of it, really.
It looks like Ubisoft actually did a good job with this launch, huh?
Well, they still put up 2 Gameloft joints.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't say anything particularly good about it.
Mm.
But hey, two of the five are not bad.
Yeah. It's a lot better than the 3DS games they put out.
Well, Ghost Recon was pretty good. I love Ghost Recon.
Yeah.
But moving on from games, did we play any demos?
I played Unit 13, which is a... It's a game that's put out by the same people that do the SOCOM series. It's a third-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, to be honest, there's really not much else to say about it. It's kind of bland. It's a really bland military shooter. Everything it does well. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't feel like a game that would be worth paying full price for. Because it just feels like it's kind of a copy and paste thing.
Yeah.
And I know it has... Yeah, I know it has some form of asynchronous multiplayer where you can compete through, getting certain times and stuff on things with other people. And I think it has co-op as well. But I don't really know if it stands out among the rest of the games, because I know you have some pretty good games on this launch, and I the game's actually not out yet. I think it comes out in March, but I can't see myself picking it up.
No, I won't buy it really either. It doesn't really interest me too much. Although I love the SOCOM games.
Yeah.
So that's a bit bad to hear.
Yeah.
So far, demos I've been playing the demo for FIFA Football, or FIFA Soccer, if you live in the US. God, I hate the name Soccer. but they basically gave it like the Madden NFL football treatment for the 3DS, but then saying FIFA Football, FIFA Soccer, not 12 behind it.
Yeah.
So that's a new trend that EA is currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
But It's very interesting to play it on the Vita because in the 3DS version you had basically that you could shoot in direct targets in the goal by using basically the touchscreen and putting in a certain place in the goal when you almost at that point. Mm-hmm. But here it is, you can do the same thing, just like with the touchscreen, but on the Vita you can do it with the back touch or with your touchscreen on the front.
Huh.
So you can, so you move towards the goal, you're positioning your characters, which you can also do. You can just tip to the touchscreen and then say, this ball needs to go to this character specifically now. Mm. Which is also a pretty interesting thing. And then you go towards the goal, and at the end of it, you can decide how you will shoot your ball into the net. You can do it through the regular buttons, which is just regular FIFA style. You can do it through the back touch, which is a bit iffy. Mm. Or you can do it through the front touch, which is actually pretty nice.
I heard about that game on, I think it's Player One Podcast, and they were actually saying that it's on par with the PS3 title. Have you ever played that one?
A little bit. I've been only playing the demo of that too, since I only bought the 3DS one, I believe. Yeah. But yeah, I can see that. It feels on par with the console ones, exactly, yeah. For better or worse. So you will get the full experience out of it, definitely. But in the demo, you could only choose like two teams and not of the teams that I am rooting for. So I would be for me a bit better to feel what my actual teams would feel like on the handheld before I would buy it myself. But it's an it is an interesting notion that the game is handled better.
Yeah.
The other two games like are Reality Fighters, which I don't really have much to say about other than it seems okay, just okay. And Mod Nation, which is like this is the PlayStation 3 version without the online.
Yeah, that bothers me.
Well, there are some cool notions there which you can make your own tracks with, like with the back touch and everything. And there are some cool stuff in it, but it's like it's not exactly the most brightest of ideas to put a Mod Nation game on the Vita.
Yeah, especially since I would see that game as a direct competitor with Mario Kart. And without online, which one would people rather pick up?
There you go.
Yeah.
But it's still a fine game. You can still like import stuff from your PlayStation 3 to the Vita and otherwise. So you can get maybe some track editing on the go on there. So it can be good stuff, definitely.
Yeah.
But it certainly is somewhere disappointing that it doesn't have online. So these are the games that are currently out now, but we're also having... There are also games, basically, that we are looking forward to, I suppose. You are looking forward to certain games for the Vita? I hope so.
Yeah. Actually, there's one game that I played the demo of at GameStop that I really, really want to come out soon. And that's Gravity Rush in the US and Gravity Days in Japan and Europe.
Yeah. Oh, I want that game so much.
Yeah, I think everyone's actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've played it back at Gamescom already. That was like in August of last year, and I'm still. Every time somebody mentions it, I'm like, I want this game so badly.
Yeah.
That's the one game on Vita that really impressed me, and I possibly will pick it up from the Japanese version because the Vita is region free if you buy something at retail.
Yeah.
So I might pick it up. Another game I'm really looking forward to is Sound Shapers.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of good things about that game.
It's like a platformer within a music game. It's like combines these different elements and you can make your own songs while playing it. It's you can even make levels based on the little snippet songs you make. It's really crazy, but that's the one of the other titles that really impressed me and made me want to pick up a Vita. So I hope that the one releases pretty soon.
Now, is it a retail release or is it download?
I believe it's a downloadable title. Even at retail, I would buy it though. Yeah. But I think it's a downloadable title. Well, definitely, yeah. you can buy also all the retail games at download. So,
and to add to that, really, isn't Gravity Days going to be a download title in Europe?
I think it's a retail release.
I heard somewhere that it was only going to be download in Europe. So,
oh, that's a bit weird. I don't know. Another thing I'm looking forward to is that's coming out in Japan very soon. I don't know if you know about this. It's a little King Story sequel.
Oh, that would be nice.
That's coming out at the end of March in Japan. And I've been looking recently like at screenshots of the game and how it seems to progress. And it seems like in more colorful or more richer version even the Wii one. So that makes me really want to pick it up.
Hmm. Oh, just to tell you, the Wikipedia article on Gravity Days says that it is download only in Europe.
Gotcha. Okay. I want to have it on the retail version, so that will mean I will definitely pick up the Japanese one then.
Yeah.
Because I like to have my stuff boxed that I really enjoy. Other things that are coming out for the system... I suppose I'm looking forward to this Gaia 3 remake.
There's kind of. I haven't played this guy before. I have the old one. I think the first one on PSP, and it looks really good.
It's I said this Gaia 3 is one of the better ones. So definitely pick that up if you get the chance, because I know you are into RPGs, and I really think you would enjoy this one.
There are two other games on the Vita that are coming out, or at least out in Japan right now. I think it's Ragnarok. I don't remember the actual subtitle to the game. It's kind of similar to Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
And then there is Tales of Innocence.
Wasn't that originally a DS game?
Yeah, it was originally a DS game. I think it's Tales of Innocence R is the Vita title.
Okay.
And I think there's also a Yeast game that's coming out for the system that looks really good. And it's actually coming to the U.S. It's been confirmed.
I don't like Western games, but I'm also kind of looking forward to Mortal Kombat on the Vita. Because they introduce different challenge rooms which make use of the different features of the Vita. And it maybe sounds really dumb, but Mortal Kombat is the epitome of dumb, and I like dumb stuff that does that in the games. I like silly things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm also looking forward to that one. Other than that, I can't really think of things right now. Maybe Little Big Planet on the Vita. I would like to have that. Yeah. Because that one's on the Little Big Planet 2 engine. And they changed all the basic stuff to stuff with the touch screens and everything. So I would like to make levels with that basic system.
I know you mentioned that you don't like Western games as much. That's probably one of my bigger disappointments with the system so far, is that there's not a lot of more Japanese games that are at launch or even announced for the upcoming, the launch window.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was really hoping for, a nice Japanese RPG, just something. And all we really have is a port of Disgaea.
Yeah. I think the closest to something Japanese is possibly Lumines at launch.
Yeah.
Although that has some more Western music, but it is a very Japanese concept.
And maybe Katamari.
Katamari is... Yeah. I played a little bit of Katamari, so it's fine. Yeah.
I do plan on picking up Katamari soon.
Yeah, I think it's a good buy, yeah. Just again, as the other games we mentioned, again, like Tales of Space, Rayman Origins, Lumines, all good games. Mostly of the lineup are based around good games.
Yeah.
It just what depends on your taste, really.
Yeah, could you imagine if they got a Monster Hunter on the system?
Well, we already have Monster Hunter 4, so they're not going to take that one from the 3DS away.
Yeah.
So, possibly a new Unite.
I did, there's actually there's a booklet at my GameStop that has upcoming games for the Vita, and it lists Monster Hunter Portable 3rd under Capcom, and Capcom hasn't mentioned anything about it, but I wonder if that's actually going to come to the Vita, maybe, because I know they had the, PS3 remaster, which they could possibly bring, or just the PSP version.
Well, there's also like the PlayStation 3 version they could bring over, yeah. Possibly. We'll see.
And Monster Hunter works pretty well on the Vita, because I've been playing Monster Hunter Unite with the second analog stick, and it feels pretty good.
You can actually set it up, right? You can actually use that second circle stick.
Yeah, what you do is you just hold on the touchscreen, and it brings up a menu, and you can smooth out the graphics a bit, because it looks really kind of jaggy on the Vita screen. I guess it's how it's larger, different ratio or something. And then you can change the button layout and stuff to however you want it.
No, that's pretty cool. So finally, to kind of wrap this up, would we recommend the Vita? Getting it right now, maybe getting it later. Let's start with you. Do you recommend the Vita?
I really like the system, but I don't know if I would recommend it to people at launch. Because there are some really good games on the launch system, but overall, I don't think it's worth getting right now.
I can see that. The launch lineup is... It's fine. There are mostly solid products in there. But there's nothing that really screams out must buy.
Yeah.
Like, Rayman Origins and Luminous, sure that those games were on other systems. I enjoy them, definitely. But it's not necessarily worth getting a new system for.
Yeah.
Is it for me? Sure. But that really depends on your taste. You need to look at the lineup and see, okay, this is what I want. I will buy this system. But I'm most certain that most people won't feel this way.
Yeah.
And I certainly think, keep checking back on the library, see what comes up in the next couple of months, and if the first thing that screams out must buy for you, maybe that's the point you pick up a Vita. Because there's enough fine stuff to buy. That's not a thing. You need that one thing that will convince you to buy it. And once you find that thing, you will definitely enjoy the system.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a reasonable thing to say for all systems, but here particularly, because there's nothing wrong with the lineup right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just find something you really want, and then consider your options or buying decisions, not otherwise.
Yeah, I had about the same experience with the 3DS. I know a lot of people didn't like the 3DS launch titles. But because of Pilot Wings, I was not disappointed at all, because I absolutely love Pilot Wings.
Same here. So that is about what we have to say about the Vita right now. Basically, there are still first impressions, and it's still the start of a new system. We just have it over a week. So there's still a lot to be said about the system, maybe in the next couple of months. We'll see how it tests the waters. We are currently the test audience for it right now to see how it will do. So it still has a long road ahead of it, for sure. But for now, James, I want to thank you for joining me.
Right, thanks.
I want to thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.
See ya.